Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
So am I the only person on the show not going to 49 Winchester on Saturday night now?
Pretty much.
Wow.
Well, did Dana buy us tickets?
She just bought some more.
Oh,
during
well,
the news break.
Awesome. Thank you.
One of my children heard a rumor, and then the other child heard a rumor. No, we're going to be well represented there.
I'll be there.
I bought
my own tickets, though, Dan.
Well, what you want to do, Scott?
Well, I'm getting picked up by Five Guys at 5 o'clock in the morning on Sunday so I can go make my annual pilgrimage to Cancun.
I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
Not to make this a topic, but I will tell you because you're getting ready to fly. This has never happened to us before. We flew to Atlanta, which I believe is the number one busiest airport in the world.
It is.
And we flew United, and the service on United was outstanding. However, when we arrived at Atlanta, they did not have the staff to welcome us to the gate.
What do you mean?
Meaning we flew around for a while and then landed and went to the airplane equivalent of a cell phone lot and sat for 1 hour and 15 minutes to the point that after about an hour, I have to go to the bathroom. We're all exhausted. Everybody on the plane's been traveling. Like, get me off of this plane. If you have to open the back door, I will jump off of this plane. And it was getting very testy on that airplane.
I remember years ago coming back from Cancun, and your dear friend Sandra Olivas was sitting right in front of me on this plane out of Cancun. The plane started having, it was a Southwest flight, nothing against Southwest, and they were having some computer issues, which is something you never want to hear come out of the pilot's mouth.
No, I would prefer the computers be working.
We sat on that tarmac in Mexico, and you know—
Oh, the heat.
When the plane's not moving, the air conditioning isn't really kicking in like it normally would, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, we sat on
that tarmac for 2 hours and 20 minutes.
I tweeted United after an hour, and I said, at what point, when we are trapped in this fuselage like rats, do we get a free flight and a free pony? And they immediately replied back. Immediately.
Well, they were very good on
they
Twitter,
said, this is not what we would like to hear. Can you DM us? And I said, look, this is not the pilot's fault. The pilot even came on and said, this is very un-Atlanta-like. We finally get up to the, what do you call that?
The gate.
We finally start moving. And we stop about 50 yards away from the gate. We can see the gate. We're now over there after an hour and 15 minutes. And we just stop. Pilot comes back on and says, look, I don't know any other way to say this. There is no staff here to receive us. They are working on getting someone, you know, the guy with the cones. This was not at 2 a.m, people. This was at like 7 p.m., 8 p.m.
So tell us about this free pony.
Well, I asked them, when do I get my free pony? Is there a voucher for that? They were very responsive. They said, we're sorry, we're looking into it.
Can you respond to the pilot and just say, just eyeball it, bro?
What's
the worst that could happen? Just eyeball it.
Well, there's got to be somebody in the skywalk there at the gate
there does, but Dan, I said, are they on strike? Like, what is going on? I guess.
It is the busiest airport in the world.
I love to travel, but there's that, you know, every once in a while you just think, God, it would be really nice to be like Taylor Swift and you just have your own plane. It would be really, really nice.
But even Taylor Swift still needs somebody to guide
the
plane
with the
in.
The sticks.
You can see the lines, just wing it. Come on. What are we doing here?
I'm going to line you up generally, and then you are going to jump. You are going to frogger over. Have you ever been walking from the, you know, gate thing onto the plane? There's usually a little bit of a crack right before
just
the plane.
Just a little bit of a divide.
Enough to lose your cell phone, and I always wonder how many people per day drop it between that slot right as they're getting ready to board. I bet you it's more than you think.
Well, as the newest member of the board of Jerk Air,
yes,
I would like to put forward a motion that we go ahead and purchase a share of a private plane for Dana and Parks.
I am in. I believe they call that a fractional.
There he is with his useless knowledge as always.
I love
we're not
it.
Buying a plane.
That's not useless. Are you kidding me? I'm here for that.
I don't know where we're going to get the money, but... Have you ever had to deplane without the skywalk where you just go downstairs?
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what happened to us in, I think it was Dominican, where they just park you on the tarmac and out come two little cars, well, they're trucks, but two trucks with a big staircase.
Some of the smaller airports, we've done that going to Biloxi. I've done that going to Palm Desert. Some of
it's
the smaller
exciting.
Airports.
It's exciting.
It is. It's like, look, we're on the ground. I feel like we're doing something naughty.
And it's almost like the
like the Beatles in the 60s.
Way. That's right.
Yeah. It's cool until they tell you they don't have any buses and now you have to carry your luggage across the tarmac.
Just huff it. Huff it across the tarmac. That's why suitcases have rollers on them, which, by the way, this came up as a topic of conversation when we were huffing everything through the airport. Who was the brilliant human being from where do they hail that came up with the idea to put suitcases on rollers? Because for years and years and years, you remember this.
You had to carry
it. Would lug, Sam, you would lug an actual, they were usually baby blue in color, like a horrible blue.
It was like and a remember giant
they had those,
briefcase.
They had those tabs, a gigantic briefcase. And God forbid if you're traveling with four or five people, it took like a really long time for someone to figure out, hey, let's put wheels on these. I'm like, I think I was in high school when the wheels came out.
Probably about that time, yeah.
I don't have a fancy suitcase. I just have duffel bags.
You don't have a roller?
I do not have a rolly
Sam,
suitcase.
Sam, that is what I'm going to tell you right now. When it comes Christmas time and your mother says, what do you want for Christmas? A roller suitcase will change your life. Don't get the gigantic one. Then you can't fit it in the overhead compartment bin. Get the normal sized one.
When I carry my bag through the airport, what am I doing?
You're huffing it.
No, Am I inhaling fumes out of that bag?
Oh, you don't huff that. That's whipped cream.
You're humping. Hoofing. You're humping it.
You can hump it or you can hoof it.
You can hump it or hoof it, but you can't huff it?
Correct.
No, huffing is different. Like, grab a Sharpie, paint can, we can huff all day
huffing
long.
Huffing is what the kids used to do in high school.
Bring your own bag.
When the shop teacher wasn't looking.
While several individuals contributed to the development of rolling suitcases, Bernard D. Sadow is generally credited with inventing it. He patented the design in 1972, which featured a suitcase with wheels and a strap for pulling. I want to know when they became like
a strap?
Yeah, I want to know when they became like really, really
like walking a dog.
Here it is. In 1987, someone updated the design by placing the suitcase vertically.
With handles.
With handles. So the first version was like...
First of all, with a strap, it's falling over a thousand times.
Correct.
It was the standard suitcase. I've actually seen these. They're pretty cool. And it has the four wheels on the bottom, but it's the standard suitcase where it's like only 2 feet off the ground or whatever. So it doesn't have the hard handle where you tilt it like the modern day ones.
Right.
And so, yeah, you pull it with a strap like a dog on a leash.
Sam, I don't know I don't know how to break this to you, but now they come with four wheels on the bottom.
I knew this was in
the
90s.
Spin.
In the 90s, the improvements of this design led not only into a massive uptick in luggage demand, it revived the suitcase industry and also led to a total reconfiguration of overhead storage bins in order to accommodate the new design.
Have you seen
ones brilliant? Are expensive.
Not all of them.
Have you seen those hooks where you can put like four rolly suitcases back to back to back? Who is flying with that much luggage?
Oh, you'd be surprised, bro.
I have seen that in the airport multiple times. People pulling, they're really only pulling one suitcase, but to that suitcase is tethered four other suitcases. If Why do you have five suitcases?
If you're
Are you
going
moving?
To Europe for 3 months or something, maybe?
They do have laundry services at the
hotel. I don't know. I would never, ever travel so long that I would need that much stuff.
This is true. I'm from the Eric Clapton school of traveling light is the only way to fly.
Yeah.
And so when I go down to Mexico next week, this is how cheap I am. I will take a carry-on suitcase. It's beautiful. It's a hard shell suitcase, turquoise, four wheels on the bottom. It spins.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
And I will pack probably three or four t-shirts, a couple swimming suits, and a handful of shorts. I do not call the laundry service. What I do is every morning when I get in the shower, I get in the shower with my dirty clothes in my hands, and I wash my clothes in the shower.
What is
there you
what,
go.
Like, what, like? And then you're I dry them. Peasant?
A psycho.
A frugal traveler. Yeah. Is the way I like to look at
That's
it.
That's impressive.
Thank
I like
you.
That.
I, you know,
I've traveled
the,
a bunch doing that.
They've got the squirt soaps in the shower, and so I'll squirt a bunch of soap into my shirt.
Ew.
Get it all wet. You know, kind of like the old.
You're doing laundry with body soap
in a shower?
Yeah, Yeah.
Oh, honey.
And then I'll hang them off the balcony.
What are we going to do with you? The global revenue in the luggage and bags segment of accessories market was forecast to continuously increase between 2024 and 2029 and bring in $231 billion by 2029. Mm-hmm. Because you know what? Sometimes those little strappy things and those wheels break.
And also, we have a lot more stuff in this modern era, and we have to fit it all
in. Dan, when you said the roller suitcases are expensive, let me just like say one thing. If you go to like a Macy's, they are not. You can get a decent roller suitcase for like $150. Why? Yeah. What is the deal with Tumi or TUMI? T-U-M-I. There is a brand of suitcase, and they sell them in airports.
What's wrong with Samsonite?
T-U-M-I. It's like $400 for... Mm-hmm. Scott,
what?
And I'm telling you, it's not like Burberry. It's all this company does is roller suitcases. And I always say, are they made out of gold?
Well, these are like trying to be fashionable, high end, and we've learned recently that.
Dan, I have a perfectly acceptable, cute little silver and. Please, what is Tumi, Sam? What is it?
You can get a 22-inch carry-on for $699.
Why are they so expensive?
Or you can go with the Tumi 19 Degree for $599. 913-586-7798. Sam Stevie.
That's more expensive than the trip I'm taking.
Dan Weinbaum, Dana Wright. The World Traveler. My name is Scott. You're on KMBZ.
Okay, you know on this program, there are certain things I am fascinated with. And every single time there's a topic surrounding one of these things, we have to talk about it. The first topic is two words. Feral children.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Obsessed. The second topic just popped up on my Facebook feed. It is three words. Spontaneous human combustion. 20 minutes ago, this post was on my Facebook feed.
Ooh. Now, it's an older story, but it just popped up on
Facebook. Don't care. In 1951, 67-year-old Mary Reeser was found burnt to ashes after she spontaneously combusted. Shockingly, the rest of her apartment was warm to the touch, but only mildly affected, despite it requiring 3,000 to 4,000 degrees over hours to cremate a body. All that remained of Reeser was one slippered and one uncharred foot, part of her spine, and a shrunken piece of her skull. Nearby plastic objects slightly melted. The rug was scorched. However, a stack of newspapers next to her body remained mysteriously untouched. I'm going to show you the photo, Scott. This was a case that even stumped the FBI. She wasn't heard from for a few days. I sent you the link to the story.
I'm looking at it.
I think it was her cleaning lady that was like, something's going on. I haven't heard from Sweet Mary Reeser. They go in and she has spontaneously human combusted. I'm going to read the story. Before sinking into an overstuffed easy chair in the middle of her St. Petersburg apartment, a widow named Mary Hardy Reeser slipped into a nightgown in Florida and popped a sleeping pill. Hot summer air drifted through the open windows. She decided she wanted a cigarette. A cigarette somehow factors into this.
Yeah, because she burned to death.
It was around
that's not spontaneous.
9 p.m. that her only son, Dr. Richard Reeser Jr., had just kissed her goodbye. So he says, bye, Mom. She would not be seen alive again. She was alone for the night and decided to enjoy a cigarette before bed. When the landlady, Pansy Carpenter, tried to deliver a telegram the next morning, the door was warm to the handle and hot to touch. Inside the charred walls, embers still crackled. Firefighters burst in. Reeser was gone. Only a pile of black ashes remained. However, amid the rubble, police found coil springs from the chair, part of Reeser's backbone. Her left foot sat in the pile, still wearing the black slipper. Why am I so fascinated with spontaneous human combustion?
Was she on oxygen?
She was not. Because, Sam, here's why it's spontaneous human combustion. Everything else around it is untouched. Only her body in the chair. And it's one of those old golden, you guys, we all had these chairs at our grandma's house, the wingback chair with the gold velvet fabric on it.
We all know the chair.
Everything around it is normal. except she just combusted right there. It didn't burn down the whole apartment. If it was oxygen, the whole place would have blown.
Now scientists find spontaneous human combustion to be hard to believe. And there's never been a confirmed case of SHC.
This sounds like one of those, the fish was this big,
Sam,
stories.
There are evidentiary photos. Reeser's story is perhaps the strangest unsolved mystery in Tampa Bay history. The case has been documented in magazine articles, documentaries, and books, but questions remain. How could a woman go up in flames without the rest of the room burning? You know how? Spontaneous human combustion.
Okay. They did a study in 1823. There was a book that came out called Medical Jurisprudence.
Okay.
That stated these commonalities among people who may have been victims of spontaneous human combustion. The victims are chronic alcoholics, usually elderly females.
Really?
The body has not burned spontaneously, but some lighted substance has come into contact with the body. The hands and feet usually fall off. The fire causes very little damage to combustible things in contact with the body. And it's very offensive in odor.
Theorists blamed everything from the fabric of the chair, goldenrod, velvet, we've all seen it, to napalm, phosphorus and thermite bombs, a ball of fire, or even lightning. There was no clear answer.
Well, and the chair back then wouldn't have had the flame. I don't know if we can still say that word.
Retardant.
Yeah.
Correct. But Sam, if a chair like that goes up in flames with all of the stuffing, those chairs, I've seen the inside of them, were made from really combustible stuffing.
Yeah.
The entire place would have burned to the ground. Well, it would have lit everything on fire.
They were filled with cotton.
But the whole chair was burned to the ground, right?
No. Just the seat.
Do me a solid. Do me a solid, Sam. Google Reeser and spontaneous human combustion. You've got to see the photo.
Reeser, R-E-E-S-E-R.
So her son, because of how strange this all was, no one could figure it out. The only thing in her system was the sleeping pill she took, by the way. Her son drafted a letter to the FBI. Dear Mr. J. Edgar Hoover, he wrote, this fire is too puzzling for a small town police force to handle. Police sent all of their stuff to the FBI. The apartment rug, smoke samples, rubble from the wall, floor, segments of the chair. FBI agents spent 3 weeks examining Reeser's, quote, mysterious disappearance. She didn't disappear. Her feet were still there. I'm sorry.
Well, her body kind of disappeared.
Finally, on August 8th, Dr. Reichert released a statement to the media calling it, quote, the most unusual case I have ever seen during all of my years of police work in Florida. FBI agents found no evidence of lightning. All of the fuses in the apartment were still intact, and they could find nothing that would have started the blaze. No alcohol, well, no gasoline.
It's like an in-wall furnace right next to where she was sitting. Would that have done it?
9-1-3-5. Well, one of the theories in the story later on is that she took this sleeping pill, started smoking a cigarette, dozed off. She was a heavier woman.
She was a heavier woman.
And apparently human fat can feed a fire.
That doesn't feed anything else next to it?
The chair was on concrete, not carpet.
It's called the human wick effect, by the way.
The human wick of, I prefer.
Like the wick of a candle?
Spontaneous human combustion.
913-586-7798, 586-7798.
You can call if you've ever spontaneously human combusted. We would love to talk to you.
I'd really like to talk to that person here on Dana and Parks. From the text line, hey, Dana, I ate Taco Bell last night. Oh. It felt like I was going through spontaneous human combustion.
Really? This is the biggest unsolved mystery in Florida history.
Yeah. I think there's probably, and I love your fascination and your passion.
Passion for spontaneous human combustion?
Yes. And I'm with you on feral children, as sad and tragic as those stories often are. I do find it extremely interesting. You know, the kid in was it Connecticut, if I'm not mistaken, whose mom had apparently locked him up in his room for the last...
The 32-year-old man, yeah.
Yeah, for the last 20-something years. And, mm-hmm. you know, he has no teeth. He weighed 68 pounds. He's horribly uneducated and has never been outside of that room, basically, except for 1 hour a day for the last 22 years. Feral children, I find remarkably fascinating and tragic. But your fascination with spontaneous human combustion.
He is unmatched, let's be honest.
Well, yeah, it is. And I think there's always I mean, she was on a sleeping pill, she smoked cigarettes, and she was overweight.
Okay, but then how
in that
old golden wingback chair that our grandmas all had made out of felt and stuffing, how did nothing else around it? It's almost like when a tornado blows through and the china is still perfectly lined up in the china cabinet, but nothing around it remains.
I can't explain it. It could, quite frankly, be something criminal. We don't know.
Highly unlikely. What, I'm going to set you on fire, but only in this one tiny spot?
And then I'm going to put you out.
There's no way.
And run.
They did say it was still smoldering when they got there.
It was.
So there is a good chance that, yeah, she did wick effect burn through the chair, and then there was just a pile of her.
Listen to this. Investigators remains. Found plenty of evidence suggesting extreme heat had taken place in the apartment. The ceiling was damaged by smoke. The top of the drapes were blackened, though not scorched. And the window screen in the dining room was clogged with soot. A ceiling beam did have to be extinguished when firefighters got there. Outside of that, and some burn marks on her end table, everything else was perfectly intact.
Maybe they got to it before it spread. 913-586-7798. John in Kansas City. John, good afternoon and hello.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I've never had or experienced spontaneous human combustion before, but I have had something similar. My kids tell me that I'm always giving them unwanted advice, and they say I've got a problem with spontaneous human instruction.
Really, John? the FBI, by the way, received more than 100 letters involving guesses about what happened to this woman.
Despite dozens of reports of spontaneous human combustion across history, there is zero direct evidence to support any of these claims.
No odor or fire or odor of death was reported by any of Reeser's neighbors. This is an apartment complex in 1951. So whatever happened either happened in a millisecond or happened so slowly without odor.
But what inside of your body would start a fire?
The rare phenomenon has been attributed to the supernatural.
Why are they all women?
Obesity.
Said usually.
Okay, obesity.
Usually, and intestinal gases.
And alcoholism.
But again, over 300 years.
What, she farted herself to death?
Well, she didn't do that.
If you've ever walked into Sam's studio right after he farted, you wish you would combust. Because I have.
Over 200 accounts in the last 300 years of spontaneous human combustion.
So read that again. Say that again.
There have been over 200 accounts or claims of spontaneous human combustion in the last 300
years. Here's why this had to be spontaneous human combustion. Okay. This sentence right here. Experts say that it would take a temperature of 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit over several hours to disintegrate Reeser's bones. A normal fire gets to around 2,000 degrees. To cremate, which is what basically this is, it would be 3,000 degrees over many hours, Scott. How is nothing else damaged in that fire?
That I cannot explain.
You know why?
Because she's spontaneously human combusted.
In December of 2010, a 76-year-old man burned to death in his living room in Ireland. Nearly a year later, a coroner officially ruled that he had died of a particular phenomenon, according to the Irish Independent, of SHC. That phenomenon could be understood for centuries, where the body burst That's into flames, it. Leaving his hands and feet intact.
In the Reeser case, this is what actual experts are saying. What probably happened was that the chair's stuffing burned so slowly, fueled by melted body fat, aided by a partially open window. From the time the window was last seen, open until the woman's remains were discovered. It was about 12 hours. The room had concrete flooring, which could have prevented that fire from spreading. As for what happened to her body and how, that part remains a mystery.
The most common attribution to SHC in written account, and this is like not police investigations or coroner investigations, these are just people saying that this person spontaneously combusted in this hamlet, in this town, in the UK or whatever, an act of God.
In the hamlet, do they read the standing orders?
And they understand.
Read them and understand them.
Read them. Read them and understand them.
And then they go boom.
But only in a hamlet.
Right.
Correct.
Never in a town or a city.
Anyway, rest in peace, sweet Mary Reeser.
She's been dead for 75 years.
Still making headlines.
Yes, she is.
Crazy.
Police in Lenexa say that thieves have stolen nearly $500,000 this year by stealing checks from mailboxes, and those are just the ones they know about. The police department said it received numerous reports of checks stolen after they've been dropped off in a mailbox. According to police, the thieves then wash the checks and then rewrite them.
We have to talk to our grandparents and Scott Parks about writing checks.
I knew it.
Apparently, if you use a gel pen, it's harder to wash the check.
Oh, good to know. So a gel pen like we used in the 1980s?
No, you can get a gel pen at any store.
Yeah, got one right next to me.
All right.
It's not.
Is that the one with the black ball?
Yeah, on the tip.
Okay.
Well, that's a ballpoint.
Whatever.
The gel is the type of ink in
like
the tube.
Yeah.
It'll say gel on it.
Yeah. I don't think we have one in here.
Okay.
Anyway, thieves have stolen $500,000 worth of
When
checks.
Are we going to talk about the issue with the local school that did not do a Google search?
So we're moving that to 5 o'clock.
We have.
Because it's more than just one segment worth.
There is a headline, you guys, in our stack today that I just went, oh, ho. And I sent it to Scott and Sam this morning.
Did you say what?
I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. God bless them. But, you know, it's important when you are relocating a school to check your surroundings. That is the hint that we will give you.
Well, but they said that the Lord led them there.
Like the Lord spontaneously human combusted people?
Maybe.
Sometimes things happen in very mysterious ways. I do not necessarily think this was the big man upstairs.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. So a story here from the New York Post. Bill Belichick, whose North Carolina emails are now public records, has asked for his 24-year-old girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, to be copied on all emails sent to him.
I saw that.
That makes Hudson's correspondence with official UNC emails also a matter
of public record.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ruling or that decision came out last like October or something, and now they have gotten a hold of some of those emails and they can see what those correspondence are.
And
Belichick claims or Hudson claims, one of the two, that on some chat rooms he's referred to as a predator.
So Hudson is emailing people on behalf of Bill, complaining about what they are allowing to be posted in the comment section on Twitter, Facebook, and whatnot for posts in reference to the team, because people are posting in there making fun of the fact that he is dating someone two generations his junior. So she is complaining to the higher-ups at UNC saying, how dare you allow them to say this about my Bill?
Now, they did go back and look through their social media accounts and could find no reference to anyone referring to Bill Belichick as a predator.
It goes further.
But he is 72 and she's 24. That's kind of weird, but continue.
Apparently, she is also upset about the image of nepotism, as he has once again hired his son, who worked for him for 12 years.
Sons, two of them.
Yeah, for 12 years at the Patriots. And has complained about the use of the phrase Bill's son in the tagging of official school photos when they are pictured together. So it'll say, you know, from left to right, Bill, Steve, Bill's son.
Mm-hmm.
And she is upset that there is some claim of nepotism and thinks that that is a bad image on Bill.
Could we just talk about the topic at hand with this ding-a-ling. And it is not her perception of what people are saying about him online. It's none of that. Why would anyone in their professional life allow any significant other to start handling communication with staff? Like, that is the most unprofessional, uncalled for. I feel so bad for his staff that not only do they answer to him, but now they're having to answer to some 24-year-old beauty pageant contestant who's upset about things on Twitter, over which they have no control.
They also saw, they being The Athletic, some correspondence between other staff members calling her his de facto agent.
Oh, this is going to be a nightmare. Watch. It is going to be a disaster.
So basically, anytime that she has a concern about anything, she is blowing up the email chain.
Can you imagine wherever it is you work? Let's not make this about Bill Belichick, and I certainly don't even know her name, nor do I care. But can you imagine where your boss gets a new girlfriend or boyfriend in their 20s, and they are now blowing up your email about day-to-day work business?
Allegedly, by the way. What? I have not seen the
emails
myself.
There's no allegedly. That's all public record.
My guess is that Bill Belichick has bought his own press, so to speak, and doesn't feel like dealing with internal office emails, and has just said to her, hey, Jordan,
you take care of this.
Well, you know, highlight the ones that I need to pay attention to, bring them to me, and then
why would you give any 24-year-old the reins over something like that?
Because she's probably really good.
Right.
I think that she is trying to make a name as a sports agent, and we always talked about, oh, is he taking advantage of her? Maybe she's taking advantage of him.
It's probably a mutual advantage situation. I'm being serious. I mean,
would you?
No. You don't even have to ask.
I know.
The answer is no.
Anyone that is listening right now, if you started getting emails from the 24-year-old girlfriend of your boss, how long would that last before there was a mutiny?
One email. One.
And you'd be fired, and everybody knows it, and that's why they're putting up with it.
Mm-hmm. And you know, being a college football coach, even if you're an assistant, if you're a defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, whatever, it's a pretty lucrative gig.
But we need to make sure that his son, that the public knows that his son got the job on his own.
Give me a break.
No, that was one of her complaints, allegedly, is that she wants Brian Belichick or Steve Belichick, whichever son it is, I can't remember which one.
Who cares?
Yeah.
I think it's Steve.
For the word to get around that he did not get that job because he's Bill Belichick's son, he got it on his merit.
Okay.
Oh, and his defense, what would it be?
Defensive coordinator.
The word genius was included.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, I can't wait to watch a soap opera. News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.